Good morning.
We will begin with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kabarichu, Ishkinte, Bidkilu, Urchimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urchimu, Leakta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavate, the Yehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Livut Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Amadonai Elohino Elena Maaseya Deno Kodonei Elena Maaseya Deno Kodoneihu. Today we will study the fifth Aliyah for Parashat Yitro. It begins with chapter 19 of Exodus, verse 7, and completes at verse 19. This is a total of 13 verses. And we know that number 13 connects to the essence of unity through the word Echad. Verse 7. Vayavo Moshe ve'yivra v'zikne ha'am v'yasem lifnehem et kol hadvarim ha'ele asher tziwahu Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo ahe dawanu heyo wayanu kol ha'am yachdav vayomru kol asher diber Adonai Yohe wahe Adanu yo yo ahe dawanu heyo Nase wayashev Moshe divrei ha'am El Adonai Yohe wahe Adanu yo yo ahe dawanu heyo Vayomer Adonai Yohe wahe Adanu yo yo ahe dawanu heyo El Moshe hine anochi ba'elecha ba'av ha'anan ba'avur yishma ha'am bedabri imach v'dam becha ya'aminu leolam wayaged Moshe et divrei ha'am el Adonai Yohe wahe Adanu yo yo ahe dawanu heyo Vayomer Adonai Yohe wahe Adanu yo yo ahe dawanu heyo El Moshe lech el ha'am Wakidashtam hayom umachar Bekibesu simlotam Wechayu nekonim Layom hashlishi Ki biyom hashlishi Yered Adonai Yohe wahe Adanu yo Yo ahe dawanu heyo Leine kol ha'am Al har Sinai V'higbalta Ed ha'am Saviv le'mor ha'shamru Lachem alot bahar ungoa V'katzehu kol ha'nogea Bahar mot yomat Lo tiga bo yad ki sa kol Yisrael, O Yaro, Yire, Im Behema, Imish, Lo Yehe, Bim So, Hayovel, Hema Ya'alu Vahar, Vayered Moshe, Min Hahar El Ha'am, Vaykadesh Ed Ha'am, Vaykabesu Simlotam, Vayomer El Ha'am, Heyu Ha'nekonim, Lishloshed Yamim, Al Tikshu Elisha, Vayehi Vayom Hashlishi, Biot Haboher Vayehi Kolot, Uvrakim Vianan Kaved Al Hahar, Vekol Shofar Hazak, Meod Vayeherad, Kol Ham Asher Bamachane, Vayotze Moshe Ed Ha'am, Likrad Ha'Elohim, Min Hamachane, Vayitjatzvu, Betachtit Ahar, Behar Sinai, Ashan Kulo Mifne Asher, Yarad Alav Adonai, Yo He Wahe Adanu Yo, Yo Ahe Dawanu He Yo, Baesh Waya Alashanu, Keshen Hakiv Sham, Vayeherad Kol Ha'har Meod, Vayehi Kol Ha'shofar, Holech Bechazek Meod Moshe, Yedaber Ve'ha'Elohim, Ya'anenu Ve'kol. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. We will begin the English
has joined.
Moses came and summoned the elders of Israel and placed before them all these words that Hashem had commanded him. And all the people replied in unison and said, "All that the Hashem has spoken we shall do." And Moses took the words of the people back to the Lord, to Hashem. I think this is the verse that there's all these commentaries on about how could the people do things backwards by saying we will do these things and then we will study these things, which is backwards. You first study and then you do. You have to know what you're going to do first. So a lot of commentaries speak about how it's really the wrong way, but that it's really the right way, because when it's coming from Hashem, there's no question you need to do it. And in the Western world and in humanity's and human beings' nature, they want to know what they're doing before they do it. And this is a level of certainty that you know it's coming from Hashem. You know it's the right thing to do. So you do it before you know why you're doing it. And that's really the way our unconscious works. Our reactive behavior, we justify it. But our justifications have nothing to do with the real reason why we're doing it. We're doing it because this is the emotion we feel at our unconscious level. Verse 9. And Hashem said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in the thickness of the cloud, in order that the people hear when I speak to you, and they will also believe in you forever." And Moses relayed the words of the people to Hashem. Why do we need to believe in Moshe? And why will we always believe in Moshe? Moshe is our teacher. That's why we call him Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning our teacher. But this level of, I have to make sure which Hebrew word is being used. I think it is emunah. Yes, it is. It is Ya'aminu is with these vowels, but it's the shorish is emunah, the yud at the beginning and the vav at the end. The yud at the beginning makes it a conjugation and an action of the verb of belief. And nu is our. The vav at the end is that in Moshe, in you. So the question is, why do we need to believe in Moshe? Moshe was a man. Yes, he was extremely righteous. So in a sense, people refer to him as half man and half angel, from the Midrashim. But the essence is, as a man, if we believe in men, if we believe in an individual man, we're talking about idol worship. We need to know that that man is the prophet from Hashem. We need to know that the man is speaking the words of Hashem truthfully. We don't need to believe. We need to know. And when it comes to Moshe, we know. But it's not something that can be logically explained to any other person. You just have to know that Moshe is speaking the words of Hashem in the Bible, and that the Mashiach will speak the words of Hashem. We have to have that knowledge to know it, not to believe in it, which represents an element of doubt. And here the Torah says there will always be doubt because Moshe is a man. And unless you hear his thoughts, and hear Hashem speaking to him in his thoughts, there will always be some minor amount of doubt. And as long as you have that doubt, you are connecting to Amalek, and you are not wiping out the memory of Amalek, which is the mitzvah. Verse 10. And Hashem said to Moses, "Go to the people and prepare them today and tomorrow, and they shall wash their garments." washing their garments is a code word for a mikveh, for cleansing every aspect of yourself in order to connect to the true holiness that is represented, manifested by the Creator, by Hashem. And they shall be prepared for the third day. For on the third day, Hashem will descend before the eyes of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And you shall set boundaries for the people around, saying, beware of ascending the mountain or touching its edge. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Where Hashem is holiness. And holiness is an energy that kills if you're impure. What happened when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil? They were commanded not to, because if they did, they would die. Death came into the world through that action. We need to understand what is holiness. The word is kadosh. Kadosh is a gematria of 410. 410 is 41 times 10. The 10 is the 10 Sephirot. 41 is the word Ima, mother. Mother is Bina. Bina will kill if you do not merit it. Bina is on the left column, representing judgment, representing the desire to receive. If you're impure because there's some selfishness in you, it kills. Learn this well. Verse 14. So Moses descended from the mountain to the people, and he prepared the people, and they washed their garments. He said to the people, be ready for 3 days. Do not go near a woman. Usually that's interpreted by the rabbis to mean there's no intimacy. But that's not really literally what it's saying. This translation is accurate. Do not go near a woman. Why not? The Torah has not yet been given. Yes, the book has not been said to the people. There is no such thing as a mikveh. There is no such thing as cleansing the impurity of death. When a woman has her period, she is impure. I don't mean this in a negative way, but it needs to be understood. The woman who is higher spiritually is capable of handling this impurity. That's why she is the one who experiences the impurity. But what is the impurity? It's death. Why is it death? Because she had the potential to bring a child, and that potential was lost. And that potential died. And that is what the period represents. A male is incapable of handling that kind of impurity. A woman is capable of handling it. We're told the women go to the mikveh monthly as after their period. Why? Because they're cleansing this impurity of death. Their husbands cannot touch them intimately, cannot touch them physically. And many people will speak when they experience the idea of the menstruation and the mikveh and the unity that takes place afterwards with their husband. They will speak of how when they are impure and their husband is not touching them, it brings them closer on a higher level. It brings them closer because their communication is intimate. But it's not manifested in a physical form. And yet it grows. The desire to be with each other intimately grows. And even when you have children who pull you away from each other, this process, the separation mandated by the Torah, is a beneficial thing. I have never lived with a woman who participated. I was secular and she was secular when I was married. So I cannot attest to the statements I'm making, but too many people have said to me in various ways the truth of these things. Do not go near a woman in her impurity. It's not an impurity that's her fault, but ultimately she is capable of handling that impurity. And as a male, I am not. Verse 16. It came to pass on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunderclaps and lightning flashes, and a thick cloud was upon the mountain, and a very powerful blast of a shofar, and the entire nation that was in the camp shuddered. Verse 17. Moses brought the people out toward Elohim from the camp, and they stood at the bottom of the mountain. Does that teach you something? Who gave the Esser Dibrot? Why was it Elohim that Moses brought them towards? Because they were in a state of impurity, as clean as they were, as having washed their garments and staying away from women for 3 days, they were still impure from death. The only thing that cures, that cleanses the impurity of death, is the water from the Para Aduma, the ashes from the Para Aduma, the red heifer. The potential of death is purified by a mikveh. Without taking the time to go into it, because I don't have the time, it's an amazing aspect. The potential of the impurity of death can be cleansed with a mikveh. That's why the woman becomes pure after her mikveh, from the potential impurity of death, of her loss of the potential for a child. But Moses brought the people to the mountain, towards God, towards Elohim, the God of judgment. And the entire Mount Sinai smoked, because Hashem had descended upon it in fire, And its smoke ascended like the smoke of the kiln, and the entire mountain quaked violently. Can you imagine the scene? It's just overwhelming even reading about it. The last verse, the sound of the shofar grew increasingly stronger. Moses would speak, and Hashem would answer him with a voice. Bakol. There's a cognate between Bakol and Bakol. One word, Bakol, is spelled Bet Kaf Lamed. It's what Hashem granted Abraham, Bakol, with everything. And some Midrashim says Bakol was the name of his daughter. Because if he had everything, he must have had both boys and girls. The voice is Bakol, Bet Kuf Vav Lamed. What is the connection between everything and a voice? The gematria of Bakol is 52, which is the number connected to the Sefirah of Malchut in its manifestation. The gematria of Bakol, a voice, is 138. We know is a completion. 38 is not a completion. 38 is one more than 37, representing the concealed aspect of Bina. So 38 is the concealed aspect of Bina with a kolel. And 38 is one less than 39, which is tall, which is due. So 38 is a connection to the left column, to the Givura, because it's less than 39, which is the right column, which is water. Dew is water. That's the completion of our reading today. Does anybody have any questions? I apologize. I have an appointment, and I will be back for the class at 11 o'clock, which will be a Sefer Yetzirah. And then we will have a 4:30 class for the Deep Zohar and a regular Zohar at 7. These are all West Coast times. You all have a beautiful day. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Oh, thank you, Hamad. Shalom Gadol. Thank you. Shalom.